everybody. Welcome back to the Anti-Media Radio. You're here with host LaVon from the Love Lab, live in Lemon Grove. Happy to be with you. Thanks for joining me on UCY.TV for the Anti-Media Radio. We're here Monday through Friday between 8 and 9 Pacific Standard Time, 11 and 12 Eastern Standard Time. We're very happy to be here. Friday nights, our show's a little different. We try and give you a break from the world news and teach you about health and wellness and things you can do to better your health and wellness and lead you towards optimal health. Very happy to be joined live in the studio with Miss Monica.
Hi, Monica.
She's an epilepsy survivor slash warrior, and she uses cannabis. So we're going to follow her through her journey of utilizing this wondrous plant, and we're going to have a nice talk about that. Also really exciting to share with you guys, Miss Monica is going to be joining us on the show on Fridays now as my co-host.
Yay!
So I'm happy to have another counterpart. It's not easy to share an hour with somebody, but we really hit it off, and we're going to be doing a lot more things together. So welcome her.
Thank you, thank you.
Tell people a little bit about the things you do before we get into your medical history. How did you and I meet, lady?
We met through a mutual friend. I do promotions for a lot of reggae bands. I work for Nug Life Español, which is a sister company to Nug Life Radio. And we do a Spanish broadcast about cannabis education / media. I mean, we do a Spanglish hour, and we just goof around and give you guys cannabis news, basically. And we try to educate in the process. I do a lot of volunteer work with local. I used to do a lot more when I had been seizure-free for so many years. We'll get into that later.
Excuse me.
But, yeah, that's a little bit of what I do. I promote, and I go to a lot of cannabis expos and shows, and I'm trying to bring a lot of local artists and connoisseurs together.
And you're really successful at that. I gotta say, you're doing a great job, and I'm happy to be joined by you. We're also here with Tim, who's her counterpart. Hi, Tim. You want to say hello?
Hey, how you all doing?
Just so people know who you are, in case you want to chime in, you're more than welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. So, both of you guys are really prominent in the scene, so I'm happy to be with you guys. You know a lot of people. And you guys are very successful at educating people already. And I was really touched by your story, Miss Monica. let's go back in history. I know that you and I had a private talk where you told me so many details.
Sorry.
And no,
I'm overload.
No, it's important for me to know. We spent a couple days getting to know each other, and I have a lot of respect for you.
Thank you.
And I can tell that you could be hindered by this if you let it, but you really are a warrior, and that's why I wanted to make sure I used that word when introducing you.
Well,
so as comfortable as you are, go into the history and talk about maybe how did you figure out you had epilepsy, or when was the first time?
I had my first seizure at 1 year and 3 months old with a fever. So, when I was a child, if I got sick and I had a fever, I would have a seizure. And then, it was my cousin's bar mitzvah. I was 5 years old. We had the party at this old synagogue in Tijuana, which was ours. And after the synagogue, we ended up going, like, the immediate family went to a pizza place.
Okay.
And the guy went to the restroom, and when he came back, he hadn't washed his hands, and he continued making the food. From the way I understood it, he got feces on the food. I ate that slice of pizza. I got a stomach infection called Shigella, and I had 8 seizures that night. This is in 1979 because I'm 5 years old.
Right.
I had a fever of 104.5, or maybe it was 105.3. They thought I was going to die. They had me in a metal crib that was padded up sharp in Chula Vista or Bayview back then. I don't know. One of the two hospitals. Bay General, sorry.
Yeah, Bay General, Chula Vista.
And after I had those 8 seizures, it damaged my brain, if you will, because I got so sick that I just started having seizures after that. They had to take me to a pediatric neurologist, and it was just... It just progressed from there, you know? So I've been dealing with this my whole life, but I haven't, because in my childhood, I didn't know what's up. In my 20s, I didn't care what was up. And until I had my first child and I knew what it was to really, my reality became real when I had my second son diagnosed with ADHD. That's when things kind of got real for me. I didn't have to deal with differences, I guess.
And when did you start using cannabis, and how did your life change from before to after?
Okay, so the first time I smoked weed, I was 15, and I probably smoked it on and off through my 20s. I had my daughter and I kind of stopped. I might have smoked a couple times here and there, but I stopped. And then I had my 2 sons right before I got pregnant with my older son. I had been smoking weed. And the day I found out that I was pregnant with my son, my ex-husband came home, took my pipe and everything and threw it in the trash, and he said, "It's time to grow up." And I said, "Okay." And that was it. And we split in 2003, and I had a really bad seizure. And my son thought I died. And right after that, I started smoking cannabis in the closet.
Yeah, so that was about 10 years ago, right?
13 years ago.
13 years ago now. And what changed after you started smoking cannabis? Because from what I understand, your seizures are stress-induced mostly now.
Now, as an adult, they're more stress-induced. When I was a child, they were induced by my menstrual cycle, by stress, not enough sleep, like a lot of different things were triggers. Coffee, alcohol, everything was a trigger when I was in my teenage and in my 20s. Everything was a trigger. Lack of sleep would make me have a seizure.
So any type of stress on the immune system in the body itself.
Right, back then.
It's very interesting. So we're trying to teach people this hour about how cannabis can be utilized as medicine. So you mentioned you're a mom.
I am.
And I'm a mom too. And I have a disease, an autoimmune disease, which is debilitating and often fatal. And I've shared with people the fact that I use cannabis so that I'm able to eat. Otherwise, I'd be in debilitating pain all day, every day. Even drinking water is like a struggle. It hurts. And I remember in the beginning, like, battling within my mind, like, okay, I have this disease. Do I want to be paralyzed all day and malnourished, or do I want to be a functional mom? And what kind of BS, bullshit, am I going to hear from the public about it?
Well,
and do you have that concern? And what's been people's response? And
oh, well,
how do you deal with that? As a mom.
In the beginning, I was a total closet smoker. I wanted to be super functional and respectful to my children. I didn't want my children to know. I didn't want their dad to find out. So I had like a regimen. And when my boys were 2 and 4 and I started smoking, I started by smoking at 8 o'clock at night after they were in bed. And I would only smoke a bowl. And after I cleared that first year seizure free, I was like, holy crap, it's working.
It's working.
It's working. So what am I going to do? Like, I've already weaned myself off all the pharmaceuticals. And let me tell you, I was up to 48 pills a day between Neurontin, Gabitrol, and I think it was phenobarbital at the end. I think
what those were the symptoms of those drugs? Like, that's a lot of drugs.
I can't tell you, but I don't remember. Like, so you know that I had, you know, I was seizure free for 10 years.
Right.
When I started smoking the weed, I cleared 10 years seizure free. And then I had 2 seizures. But those 2 seizures really damaged me.
And those were the ones in 2003, right?
No, 2013.
Oh, those were the most recent ones.
Right.
Okay, I see.
And now I'm going on 3 years in March.
And how did you become an activist? You went from being a closet smoker to a cannabis activist and educator.
At first it was about just smoking and trying to stay alive for my kids. And then life has directed me through some paths. And eventually I was helping someone grow, and I taught my kids about the plant as they were growing, and I told them that it wasn't a drug. And then everything about Charlotte's Web and the Stanley Brothers kind of exploded after I had my seizures.
So for those of you who don't know, Charlotte's Web is known for being high CBD.
Yes.
And CBD is a wonderful component, especially when consumed in controlling seizures, not only in adults, but children. And it's become very popular. And if you go to theantimedia.org, several of us journalists have written about it, myself included. It's a miracle. It literally is a miracle when utilized properly.
Well, for instance, there's this one awesome, awesome story on a little girl named Charlotte. And I've gotten to meet her mother, Paige.
Tell us.
And so I had the 2 seizures when I was in Big Bear. And I was happy and growing. And life was, I was at the top of my game. I was working at Snow Summit. I started as a host. And weekly, almost, someone was recognizing my good work. I was very friendly, very outgoing. I speak Spanish. I understand Hebrew. And I was communicating with probably at least 500 people on a daily basis, being a host. Even if I was at the top of the mountain, you know, doing my shift, or if I was at the bottom, just helping Spanish people communicate.
So you're a major asset.
In a way, I was. And I have a bitter taste with Snow Summit and Big Bear because they fired me for having my seizure. I love that job. I gave it my all. I was really scared and nervous about becoming a ski instructor. Plus, I had a lot of stress in my life at that moment. And I think my neurologist, when I told him what happened, he's like, you were stressed out. That's the only reason you had that seizure. That's what he told me, you know? He's like, have you had another one? And I said, I had one follow-up after that, and I haven't had any since. He's like, it was stress. He's like, you need an MRI. And they did an MRI, and the lesion that had been in my head was completely gone after 5 years of smoking weed.
Wow. What is a lesion for people who don't know?
It's like a bubble inside the head. And mine was on the left side of the brain. That's why, like, I lack artistic ability or my coordination's off. Like, my brain thinks a lot differently than most people. And I know sometimes I look slow or... But it's just the way my brain...
Just from spending time with you, you're definitely not lacking in intelligence.
I'm not lacking intelligence.
I can tell that it takes you a few minutes sometimes to get it out. Not that you don't know it.
But 3 years ago, I wasn't like that. Mm-hmm. This is just from the lag. Because after I had the two seizures, they put me on Topamax, which us people who have epilepsy call it Dopamax, because... I was a walking zombie. My kids...
You told me about that.
Yeah. My older son, Aaron, came to me and finally said, Mom, I don't know what you're doing, but you have to stop taking
that. So this was a pharmaceutical.
It was a pharmaceutical. It was depressing me. I wanted to kill myself. I couldn't walk. I couldn't talk. I couldn't think. I couldn't drive. I couldn't eat. I had lost so much weight. I was under 120, and that was the skinniest, like... I had been
That's
after
sickly.
Having kids. Yeah, I looked gross. I have pictures I can show you later. It was nasty.
So it must have been difficult to, like, even get that out of your system.
It was really hard because even before something happened, I could see it. I could foresee it happening. I don't know if it was, or if it was just something I could feel and sense at that moment in time. But right after that happened, I knew my life was going to fall apart. And sure enough, it did. You know, I lost a lot. My kids lost a lot. We lost our home. We lost our life because of it. Because it totally, it ruined my train of thought. It ruined.
You were tiny.
I lack. And I lack this, and I know I've lacked it for a very long time, but I lack common sense. It's bizarre. I have street smarts. I have a lot of things as...
Well, you were saying you lost a lot of your abilities. You used to have, like, amazing computer programming abilities.
Yeah, I was pretty decent with a computer.
So, I'm sorry that you've gone through that. But there are things you can do.
Right.
Not just smoking cannabis.
I don't just smoke. I mean, I'll eat my own edibles mm-hmm. if I make them.
I want to talk about how you, like dabs are a big thing, like the RSO
they are
concentrates. And you are kind of anti that. You and I share the notion, like, they're delicious, and I respect the idea.
No, they're not delicious to me.
But if you have a clean process, which most producers don't.
Honestly, I've heard of a couple different ways of making dabs, and because I've seen the way that I haven't made it, but it's been made right in front of me with butane.
Mm-hmm.
Same. They call it goo.
Yeah.
Okay. And I took a hit when they made it and they're like, okay, do that. I got really tore up for 15 minutes and I had the biggest migraine for the next 4 hours.
Yeah.
So not worth it.
Yeah.
That was the first time. Then I went to a show and someone told me to dab. And I was just like, I don't know about that. And again, I had this like tingling, ringing feeling just in my brain from the smell alone.
Mm-hmm.
And then after I dabbed, sure enough, I got a headache. They got me to dab off some rosin, which is the heat pressed one. Not butaned, and it didn't hurt my head immediately, and I felt good. I got high, but the after high was not worth it because I had a headache like 5 hours later, and with weed, that doesn't happen, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Besides, why would you want to smoke something that's a flower? And pretty and it has all these wonderful components in and shoot poison into it.
I hear you.
Okay.
I hear you.
Like, what's the point?
That's like a pharmaceutical.
That's like saying, here, I want a quesadilla. Let me put some rat poison on it first. You wouldn't do that. Like,
right. I feel you.
You know? And you have to be careful because there's people that make edibles that shoot their weed with butane or with whatever and then coat the edibles with dabs. That gives me a headache too. That's gross. Mm-hmm. And I can taste it.
Yeah, I had an edible the other day. Yeah, and it was a candy, and I got to a certain point in the candy where it was strictly this little hard candy I had, like in a clear wrapper.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even remember the name of it. And it's good at first, right? And then about 5 minutes in, you get this horrible, disgusting butane flavor.
Oh, see, I won't even try it now because I think we got it at the same place.
It made me sick. Same thing. Like, my body's sensitive to that.
There's a couple edibles that I have tried. There's this guy. His name's Brett. Okay? And he makes the best.
The Leaf of Life Lawless?
Yes. The best peanut brittle. The best hard candy.
I had that stuff.
I gave it to you at the show, right?
Yeah, we tasted it on Tuesday. Oh, it had me feeling amazing.
He makes so many different award-winning.
Award-winning. He has recognized. So yes. Tell people that product. I want them to know.
The Leaf of Life Lollies makes award-winning peanut brittle. They make hard candies that are amazing. And
let's come closer so we can hear you, Tim.
They also make like chewy chocolates. I've been at events where they make bacon mac and cheese.
What?
That's medicated. He's made medicated pulled pork sandwiches, cornbread, banana nut bread. Like, this guy's amazing. He's just a chef, and he's amazing. You know, there's another chef called Chef Dante from Papa's Potions. He makes medicated pizza.
Mm.
And eventually, starting at the end of February or March, I'm going to deliver once a week in the South Bay medicated pizza.
Come this way, homegirl. Hey. I'm about to order me a pizza.
There'll be deals. Buy one, get one half off and stuff like that. And then if you buy 10 pizzas, you get one free.
Oh, time for a pizza party.
Yeah.
SoCal Prop 215 patients.
Yes, you do have to have your card.
Yes, of course.
You do have to be verified. Legal. It is legal. But yeah, it's just amazing. And I know a lot of people that do cook really, really well without butane and without solvents. And I like to keep them in the back of my mind, you know, because, yeah, there's this guy up in Hemet. His name's Andrew from the Hippie Lounge, and that guy's amazing, you know. He has dabs. He has flowers like crazy. He has edibles. He has RSO liquid.
The RSO liquid, which I
it's like that bottle that you bought.
Yeah, it's like Rick Simpson style, right?
No. I personally think it might be better, but I haven't really. I can't compare it to Rick Simpson because I haven't personally tried it.
Okay, I haven't.
And I don't want to shoot it down.
I hear you. Yeah, there's so many amazing people
products
in the cannabis community. Monica and I oh my God, I'm so excited that you invited me. There is a, okay, guys, you know how I'm always talking about agorism or a secret market, you know, people doing business with each other, and it's possible, and you hear me talk about that. And there is such a thing called Plura Agora.
Yes, there is.
And it's a secret little market here in my hometown of San Diego. And it's a bunch of legal Prop 215 patients who get together and we share our ideas and our products. And we support each other. And it's freaking beautiful. and very fruitful.
And I just took LaVon last week, and she loved it.
Super excited because now LaVon Potions has a platform locally to share. And it was my first time vending live. Like, you know, my stuff's on my website. But it was my first time engaging the public, and I got a like very awesome response. So it was super encouraging. And
I got one of LaVon's rollers, and it is the most amazing product I have now.
Oh, you're just saying that.
No, I'm not.
Don't just say that.
That really, you know what? I put that on my forehead. I put it on my sinuses.
So she had a headache.
Ugh. And from it was all the butane because they were dabbing out
like
crazy.
There was like Dab City there. It was like you know, like China has a fog problem. It was like we were in China, like
was, butane fog.
It was part of the remember the 11 Dab Challenge.
Oh my God! Yes. Yeah, what's the name of that company?
Beto did it too.
That was the
California Extracts Cali Extracts?
I don't know. It was a local company here in San Diego.
So, yeah, they had Dab City.
It was an 11 Dab Challenge plus a flower hit. Yeah, flower hit bowl.
I have a video of that. Maybe I should share that with you guys.
That would be amazing.
What they do is they have this Dab Station. It's free at this Plura Agora Market. And you come up to this stand, if you so dare, and you put your mouth on this. Oh, I hate when the joint goes out. You put your mouth on this like rig, correct? Yes. Then they have every girl working there set up 11 dabs. You can't stop. You have to keep going while you're doing this. So one guy did it in like 2 minutes and 30 seconds.
Nuts.
It was insane. So you take all these 11 dabs. They sneak you a 12th dab. Oh, I have the lighter. Sorry. I steal them. It's my hobby. If your lighter's missing, I have it.
Grip tape here.
Even remotely, I stole your lighter just now. It's in my pocket in this right now. So anyways, you get 12 dabs, and then you smoke a bowl. And then when you're done, they give you a free gram of wax or concentrate. But you know what? Like, I'm typically a dab snob. Like, I have two people I know who grow and make their own, and that's, like, the only ones I smoke. But I had I had two of their dabs. They were really, really tasty. And I respected that they had a label from a lab test right there on their package. So I knew what I was consuming. I respect that. That extra step is important.
Of course.
Yeah, I gotta give you the product knowledge.
Exactly.
Product knowledge and everything.
So thank you for sharing that market with me. It's just so encouraging. Like, I had lunch the other day, okay? I'm in La Jolla. And if, for those of you who aren't from San Diego, that's like a nose-in-the-air type of hood.
Yeah.
You know?
The jewel.
They're swimming in some does over there. Not to make assumptions, it's which I like to call it. And I'm having lunch, and I hear this unexpected demographic talking about marijuana just right here there in the restaurant. And I'm like eating my noodles and I'm like, fuck, hell yeah, they're sitting there talking about weed. This is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So I finished my lunch and I'm like, pardon me, not to be rude, but I just want to commend you for talking about cannabis in public. I'm an enthusiast and a proper patient, and I think you guys are doing it right. And they're like, what? No, come talk to me. Turns out this guy is a research student studying the compounds that are effective in weed as medicine.
Mm-hmm.
So I made this connection with this research doctor. So I'm working on getting him on, but how cool would it be to talk to someone firsthand who's pretty much doing what we're doing, but has the science to back up?
That's rad.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this
yeah.
is what's going on in the world, real life. And it's super encouraging because, you know, just last week we featured a guy who was supporting a tribe of women who are growing hemp and creating an exfoliator called the Hempy Scrubby.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just one avenue of the cannabis market, not to mention the healing properties. I'm so elated. Since you guys go to so many events, can you tell me some of the people you met? Like, you were going to tell us the story of the little girl who had epilepsy, remember? You got a chance to meet her mom.
I haven't met Charlotte. So what happened was when my life started falling apart, that was in 2013, I decided that I wanted to start growing weed and I wanted to start smoking weed because I was going to run out of what we had just grown and my life fell apart. So I was down to like my last 2 pounds or pound and a half. And that's all I had. And in some ways to survive, I bartered with that weed. You know, I went to Venice Beach for a weekend with an old friend and my daughter. And
talk about things, anarchy.
Oh, yeah. Like, I went down there and...
Screw Bitcoin. Like, I've got weed coin.
Like, it was... I went to the belly up for Pato Bonton, and the next day I was in Venice Beach literally bartering for a Rasta painting. 2 big-ass buds of weed for a bag and $20. And that's what I gave him. Or for a painting. That was like, to me, it was worth like $100.
So you've used marijuana as currency, not only medicine.
Oh, yes.
Rock on, girlfriend.
But, so I moved back here, and I had just seen the first commercial for the Dr. Sanjay Gupta event. And I started researching the Stanley Brothers. Like, the minute I saw what I saw, I was like, wait, what? They're doing what? Because I had been seizure-free for 10 years. What do you mean? Now they're going to back up everything I've been saying and doing?
Right. Because it wasn't very publicly utilized.
Right. And, I mean, like, before that all exploded, I had been seizure-free for 10 years. And then I had the 2 seizures. And then all of this kind of came out on TV, radio.
But at least it's in the forefront now.
Oh, no, right. Of course.
It's much different.
So...
Not to discredit that experience.
Right. But then I heard that the realm of care, or sorry, that the Stanley Brothers were going to come to California and do an event. And the first one was in Glendale. And then I think it was in Anaheim and Irvine. And I went to 3 of them. So I got to meet 4 out of the 6 brothers. I got to meet...
And why are they important for those who don't know?
Because they're the ones, one of them came up with the strain, one of them grew it, one of them,
the high CBD, right?
The high CBD Charlotte's weed. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you can Google the Stanley Brothers, Dr. Sanjay Gupta, yeah, you know, original CBD story, whatever, and you'll see how it all really came about, but that's just how it became popular. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not really how it happened.
I hear you.
Anyway, so I went to a couple of events, and at one of the events, there was a film crew there that wanted to film me, but I had to leave because my ride was coming back to San Diego, so I wasn't able to stay. I got to meet Charlotte's mom, Paige. I got to meet a lot of other patients, their parents, lots of different ages. It was mainly a pediatric event.
That means children, for those of you who don't know that.
But I went with a guy from my epilepsy group. Mm-hmm. Okay, because I told him about it. Mm-hmm. And
did that change your view of it being utilized as a medicine? Like, knowing that other people like you were seeing results?
Well, I kind of opened the eyes of a couple people here. Because after my life started falling apart, I needed to connect with someone. So in August, I went to the Epilepsy Foundation of San Diego. And Susan, I think, was still working there. And I walked in and I sat down and I recognized a couple of guys, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I hadn't been there in like 20 years. I'm not kidding. Over 15 years, I hadn't been there. And... they're like, so, where have you been? and how have you been? I'm like, well, I was seizure free for 10 years and blah, blah, blah. And they're like, how? I'm like, smoking weed. Mm-hmm. And that interested a couple of them. And they invited me to this group. And then, I don't know, like, there's people that I've given weed to help them try and stay seizure free. There's people that I've given oil to because they have a parent that has cancer.
Believe it or not, Love on Potions has a 17-year-old doggy who's epileptic who takes my potion.
That's rad.
So I have a doggy that I've kept seizure free for about 7 months, 8 months. And there's also a woman who's the mom of 2 young children who I've been helping for the past 6 months with my potion. Also, she's very epileptic, like you, to the point where she can't get a job. She's in a custody battle. She can't even tell her doctor because she's afraid that her ex will take her children away. So she just constantly, like, is taking measures to make sure she's not alone with her children and in case anything. It's scary. It's scary what people have to go through.
I would love to talk to her.
I'm going to make sure you guys talk to each other. But she uses cannabis too. But the thing is, certain strains give her a seizure.
What?
She can only smoke like heavy indica. Because her epilepsy is very much generated by anxiety. So, you know, like a good sativa gets your brain going, sometimes gets your heart going. She'll have a seizure. But I've been trying to get her to eat it because it's different.
Mm-hmm.
So she's been having some luck with that.
That's awesome.
But yeah, I'll make sure you guys connect because
I totally think that the plant helps in a lot of different ways for a lot of different things, depending on the strain and depending on what the components are. I'll give you that. But I don't think saying, okay, I'm just going to take a tincture of CBD is enough to help someone.
Right, you have to do different things.
You have to do different things. You have to learn that you need it different ways. I mean, I don't always take a tincture, but I have plenty different ones, and I'll take one for a couple days. If I like it, I'll keep taking it. But for me, it's like I forget.
So you found the best way is just smoking.
Just to smoke, because
I'd be interested to have you try the potions.
Okay.
Like, I have a few people with epilepsy who are taking like daily doses of a milliliter or 1 milliliter.
Okay.
So that's like a tiny little bottle, but I'd be interested to see how
it works. Changes in like 30 days?
Like 28 days, apparently every cell in your body is new or has been like cleaned, so.
Okay, I'm down.
We'll add you to the panel of love cats. I have a panel of people who test things for different reasons, so okay. We'll see how that goes. We'll put that on the record. This is the record. But so you were seizure free, then you had that event, and then you got more involved in the scene and meeting other people, and now you're an advocate and a teacher. I want to talk about your vision for what you call Canna Mornings. What do you want to do with Canna Mornings, and why does it matter to you? And that, as not only as a mom, but as a patient and a warrior of epilepsy.
I want to educate people on the different ways to use it, the different ways it helps, the different things going on in the world to try and change things.
Yeah, you talk a lot about legislation. Like, there's obviously a war on drugs. Like, what's your goal?
I don't know about a war on drugs. I just know that the government says that there's all these people using the system, and there's real people on the system that are trying to get off the system. And the government makes it really hard for those honest people. Do you know how many times I've gone to school just so I could get a better job?
Probably a lot.
You know? And you go to get that job, but then doesn't help, and the government doesn't help you get a job either. And it's like, you get stuck. You get stuck. They're helping the wrong people. They're investing in the wrong things. I mean, I don't know. If I could move back to Israel and just live there on a kibbutz, I'd be happy. Just give me an area to grow.
She wants a kibbutz. She wants the whole kibbutz. But for now, until you get your kibbutz, like, what's Can of Mornings for you? Like, next week you want to talk to moms, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to see if one of my mom friends who has a child who has epilepsy would come on the show and maybe talk to us about her struggle mm-hmm. with the child, with the growing, with mm-hmm. everything.
CPS gets involved, you know.
Sometimes. Yeah, sometimes they do.
Stories of that.
Oh, yeah. My ex threw me under the bus with them, and they came in when the boys were like 2 and 4. They came to my house. And they're like, so we heard that you're smoking marijuana around your children. And I'm like, I have this. And all it was a note from my neurologist saying that he was recommending me to go talk to a doctor about smoking marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
It was back in 2000, like 5 and 6, before you could really go get your card.
Mm-hmm.
So I was still kind of just closet smoking, and
you CPS got involved.
Oh yeah, CPS came to the house. I showed them that paper, and they're like, "Oh, so why do you smoke?" And I'm like, "Because I have epilepsy," and they're like, "And this stops you from having seizures?" I'm like, "Yeah, it makes it so I can be a mom to my kids." "Oh, well, when do you smoke?" "At night, after 8 o'clock at night, after they go to bed, and after all my kids are asleep." Mm-hmm. You know? And they're like, "Oh, okay, well, what do you do during the day?" And I said, "I go to community college. I'm going to school for web design."
Mm-hmm.
I was going to Southwestern at the time, and mm-hmm. I was taking a flash class, which was to animate. And back then, Dreamweaver and Fireworks were like how you kind of built a website.
Mm-hmm.
So it was pretty rad. I took a color class. But yeah, so I was going to college. I had one kid in preschool, one kid in kindergarten. No, in another preschool. And then my daughter was going to Jewish private school.
Right.
So
we're talking about the Can of Mornings and how you wanted to like talk to one of your mom friends about that. No, you know, you're right there on, like, you're talking about how you used it as a mom and how we're going to talk to another mom.
Anyways, yeah, I think.
We want to talk about Can of Mornings.
Yes, we do.
Sorry, I gave her some good medicine here.
Yes, she did.
I apologize.
You got me way too stoned.
Nah, you're good.
Okay.
No, but it's just, you've been through a lot in... You're able to sit here, though, and, you know, that's amazing on its own.
Right.
And you're teaching your children about it, and not only them, but lots of other people.
Oh, yeah. I think
that's hard to do.
It really is, because people think that I'm very lenient with my kids, and I let them get away with so much. But I drug tested my 15-year-old son just to make sure he wasn't stealing it or... eating it or smoking it. And sure enough, I drug tested him and he was clean. And I'm like, thank you.
Because you want him to do it when he's ready.
I want him to do it when he's ready. And I want him to come to me versus going with a whole bunch of friends. You know, I know someone that the first time they ever smoked, they laced her stuff with coke.
That's horrible.
You know, she was 18 years old and... That's awful. She was bouncing off the walls, and she had come to me and told me that she wanted to smoke with me for the first time because she was turning 18. And I think I wasn't that much older, you know? But when she decided to walk away with her friends and she went with who she thought her friends were, they wasted. And that sucked because I wasn't there to stop it.
Yeah, we all had some sort of strange experience. I've always told that
to all three of my children. And my oldest child's 23. I'm proud to say she has never really done anything too severe, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm glad for that. She's listened to me and my 15-year-old and 13-year-old.
Would you rather them use cannabis than pharmaceutical?
Of course.
Yeah, I hear you on that.
My sons have ADHD. Mm-hmm. And a couple years ago, I had gotten some cannabis oil, and I was giving it to him. Mm-hmm. But the flavor, the taste of it was making him nauseous.
Oh, yeah. If you don't cook it properly, it gets fishy and it tastes rotten.
He didn't really like it. And he asked me to stop, but while he took it, he was so confident, and he was doing, like, amazing in school, getting straight A's on tests and doing good.
Yeah, there's this magical zone of application when you use cannabis. If you, unlike us, if you don't overdose, if you take just a small amount, you get to this point in your brain where all the neurons are firing rapidly. And you can maintain that focus. Microdosing is so important. So it sounds like your son kind of had that going on where he was able to focus. And I've read a lot of stories like that children that utilize it not only for epilepsy but for ADHD as well. That's a whole other show. I want to find
autism.
Out. Yeah, autism. So you haven't eaten it long term, so we're going to check that out. See how that affects you. So how much do you consume typically a day, an average, just to maintain, like, seizure-free? What'd you say?
I don't know. I think it varies. It depends on if I have a lot at home or if I just have...
But at least once a day, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I do try to wait till at least... I prefer not to smoke till the afternoon, but there are those mornings where I'll wake and bake with coffee. For the most part, I wait till about noon, if anything. I'm not an all-day smoker. I prefer to smoke at night, and I prefer to smoke when I feel chill, not when I need to get stuff done.
Right.
You know, but if I feel on edge...
Because you can't get too stressed out, right?
No.
Awesome. So tell me some of the other ways rather than smoking. Like, have you heard people utilizing it? Like, people take the oil. They're doing edibles now. Mm-hmm. I don't know if a lot of people vaporize. Like,
there's a lot of people that vaporize.
I wanted to talk about this.
Yes.
Yeah, there's this company called Slacktivus. It's cannabis syrup.
Yeah, it's like cough syrup, but cannabis syrup.
Yeah, this 4-ounce bottle has, how many? 1,500 milligrams.
For the whole bottle?
For the whole bottle. So that's pretty good. That means each serving is like over 100 milligrams.
Oh, wow. That edible we have is 1,000 milligrams.
So, yeah, this...
it's almost a whole bottle of that.
But this is amazing. The guy, the creator of this, was telling me that there are so many children...
Yes, that are taking it.
Yeah, and they're...
And for so many different things. There's one kid that has, like, I think, epilepsy. One of them has cancer. One of them has leukemia. Like... There's different kids that are taking it for different things. And they have a CBD and a THC one.
And they have different flavors.
Oh, like, yes,
I have this blueberry
do.
One. I'm going to try it.
Oh, you got blueberry?
Yeah, I got blueberry.
I've tried, I think, pineapple. I want to say cherry. Or maybe it was strawberry.
But they sell it for $60, $65, $60 in dispensaries?
Yes, they do.
It's it's up and down the entire coast, it was telling me, from like San Fran down.
Yes.
So check it out, you guys. If you're a patient, it's called Slactivus Cannabis with Syrup Potent Pain Relief by Dr. Broke Leg. It's awesome. It's it's very potent. Like, don't overdo
it. It's awesome. Like, we have it at home.
But for kids, obviously, they take a small, tiny bit.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You mix it with like a soda. You
know, or
like
juice. Like a juice.
Or with trail, a...
Or you can put it with juice. Or
yeah. They prefer... Like, they say that if you mix it with something with bubbles, like a pineapple soda or something like a Canada Dry, that will... Yeah, Sprite's a good one.
So they make like a little mocktail out of it.
Yeah. They were handing those out at events that we went to.
I tried one.
And they actually, the Hippie Lounge came to the Harvest Festival, which I kind of helped coordinate. Tim did security. And they were handing those out by the cupful to the people that were working the event, but they were selling the cupful for $5 to anybody. Well, you had to have your card to get in anyways, so if you didn't have your card, you couldn't go in. But so anybody indoors, they could buy a cupful for $5. And we had friends that had come to this thing that had not seen anything like it. Mm-hmm. You know,
it blew my mind. I've never seen anything like that.
It was rad.
So I am looking forward to going to more events. On Wednesday, we've got the Plural Agora, so I'll give you guys an update of some cool things.
We will have a couple cool things this next week.
I wanted to tell you guys about the Rolls Choice, the blunt and joint adhesive stick. Go on Instagram and look up Rolls Choice. This invention, oh my God, I met this dude. He's a local San Diegan, and you guys can go on my Instagram too, Love On Not Off. I made a video about it. It's this little pin, and it's got a paintbrush with a little twister applicator, and this wonderful all-natural jelly comes out, and it allows you to adhere your blunt, your joint, your anything, your rolling paper. And what's cool about that is that it's a lot more sanitary. Like, the creator was telling me that... What's his first name?
Alan.
I thought I was going to call him Alex. Not Alex. Alan. Alan was telling me that cavities can be passed through saliva. That sucks. Like, I don't want to smoke a joint of beautiful medicine and acquire a cavity.
Right.
Because some dude licked it. So, yeah, Rolls Choice is really amazing. It's been my favorite new product this week. Like, you guys check it out. It's a really awesome way to smoke your medicines. This guy is a genius. I talked to him for a while. He has so many good ideas. You're going to hear about him a lot. So,
yeah, he's
God. He is a genius. So I really want to make sure I mention that. It's been really fun to roll with that.
Yeah,
I feel like a pro. Ask Monica. I'm rolling cigars. She's like, that's not a joint. That's like a freaking cigar. I'm like, oh, is it? I can't tell. It's so easy to roll it with this pen.
Yeah.
So.
Thumbs up.
Thank you. Thanks, Rolls Choice. You're making me roll these fatties and lose my train of thought on my show.
By the way, LaVon, thank you for this lip balm.
You're welcome. Yeah, I'm really excited to like finally launch some products. Love On Foods and Love On Potion is a thing. And it took me a few years to formulate and like a year to realize it's the shit and months to find a perfect package. So that's being utilized. People like the potion, which is weird and awesome all at the same time.
No, it's rad. It's a good potion.
But that's what's exciting about this new venture of getting out in the community and networking more is I want to meet other people doing the same thing. I think it's really important to teach people about other ways to utilize cannabis. Like, smoking is very popular, but you and I are going to dabble more in the edibles. Monica's going to make a solvent-free, like she was saying, a fudge. That's.
I'm gonna start a cooking show also.
Let's talk about that. Yeah, we were talking about your vision for the Can of Morning.
Well, I'm gonna have like an off show of Can of Mornings called Moni's Happy Kitchen. Mm-hmm. And or Can of Kitchen, I'm not really sure, but that's just going to be me making medicated foods. I love cooking. I've been asked to teach people how to cook. My food comes out really good. There's certain things I won't make because I just can't make it. But
like when what's something you get down on? Tell me.
I can make grape leaves to die for.
Oh!
Yeah. I'm part Turkish.
Drool.
Yeah.
Drool. Uh-huh. I will eat all of them.
Yeah.
You make medicated versions of those?
I can.
Ooh, I want it. You guys ever have stuffed grape leaves medicated?
I haven't made them because my kids like them so. And they're so hard to make already that it's like, do I really want to make medicated grape leaves? Like, nah.
Maybe for the show you have to.
It's a lot of work to make grape leaves on its own. It's really hard. You know, it's not even hard, it's just a pain. A lot of Turkish Middle Eastern food is like a pain in the butt to make.
That's why it's so delicious. Let's be real.
I make good falafel.
Hummus.
Oh yeah, my medicated mashed potatoes for Thanksgiving were bomb.
I want some of those with gravy. Two orders, please. Let's go.
And my medicated bacon mac and cheese.
Yeah, I heard about that.
It wasn't bad. That was good.
So you're going to have a cooking show with cannabis, too. It's exciting. Yes. We're going to have to check in on that.
Monica's fucked up fudge.
Oh. No F-bombs, Tim. But yeah, her fudge is the effed up fudge.
That's what they call it.
F squared.
Yeah, we're gonna
coming soon.
We're gonna call it F squared because it F's you up.
It does.
Effed up fudge.
It's you when you least expect it.
It's a creeper.
It is. It creeps up on
you. So thank you guys for joining us on this special edition of Love on Foods Anti-Media Radio presents the. We really enjoyed having Monica and her hearing about her epilepsy battle, and we'll catch you guys on Monday. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yo, here we go. Go through the stereo.
Dude, she was so high when she did that. Listen to LaVon. She was so high.